3. The killer stood watch at a thin window, still waiting for the end to arrive. The room was not as he'd left it when they dragged him down to hell. The flagstones had been scrubbed near clean, an old lamb's wool rug draped over the bloodstains. The hearth was bereft of flame, but not heat. They'd lit a fire a few hours past, banishing the chill. Two antique armchairs stood in the room's heart, a small round table between. Two golden goblets sat upon it, empty, yet full of promise. All had been put in order again, like pieces on a game board just waiting for the players to arrive. But though they'd taken efforts to make it more comfortable this time, the last Silver Saint knew this room for what it was. Still, better than the prison he'd just left. 6 nights he'd spent, starving at the bottom of an empty well in the tower's belly, his tongue a riverbed of cracking clay, his throat a desert plain. Agony had been his only company, agony and blood-flecked screams and smoke-soft dreams of her. He'd been delirious when they finally hauled him up, gifting him a lungful of Sanctus so sweet he'd actually wept at the taste. A carder of thrall swords had escorted him to a bathhouse in the chateau's heart, where two pretty mortals, a green-eyed Sudemi maid and a dark-haired Nordish beau, had sunk him up to his chest in wondrously warm water. They'd bathed him slow, combing the blood and filth from his hair as his lashes fluttered on his scarred cheeks. By the time they were done, Gabriel had almost felt half-human again. And so when he'd felt the beau gifting soft kisses along his shoulder, the maid running slow fingertips up the inside of his thigh, he found himself sighing instead of itching for a sword. "What are you doing?" he'd croaked, throat still cracked from screaming.
"Our master bid us see to your needs, Chevalier," the maid replied. "All of them."
"What are your names?" The lass blinked in confusion.
"My..."
"Your name, mademoiselle," Gabriel had insisted.
"Jasmine."
"Dario,"
the beau had murmured, teeth tickling Gabriel's ear. He'd pushed them away gently, hands and lips both.
"Merci, mes chers, but I'm not that kind of hungry, nor that kind of bastard."
They'd dressed him in his old leathers, now washed, boots polished, tunic spotless. And after 3 bowls of rabbit ragout and half a bottle of a wine so rare it might have paid for a chateau in Nordland, Gabriel had been escorted under guard back up the tower stairs, there to await the pleasure of the Marquis Jean-François Chastain once again. He did not wait long. As Gabriel stared out the window to the mountains beyond, he felt a tickling, as if a hand was brushing his hair back from his neck. Turning, he saw the cold blood standing 20 feet away, chairs and table and empty goblets between.
"I trust you are feeling refreshed, Chevalier," Jean-François asked.
The Marquis was dressed in pale finery, golden curls flowing about marble cheeks. His ruby lips were quirked, fresh blood staining the whites of his eyes. Though he'd not seen the historian once in the last 6 nights, Gabriel knew this monster had been behind every moment of his torture. Punishment for his assault the last time they'd spoken. "How's the throat?" he asked.
"Better.
I can remedy that." The cold blood smile became something darker, something that hunted true smiles for sport. For a moment, the air ran thick and dark as heart's blood.
"I thought we might try again, de Leon," Jean-François declared. "I thought we might talk as gentry. The red ledger between us marked even, and all our hurts forgot."
The Marquis gestured to the armchair.
"Will you sit?"
"What happens if I don't?"
"Bloodshed, I'd wager."
Jean-François reached into his frock coat,
unfolding a small blade from a gleaming pearl handle. And not the pleasant kind. Gabriel glanced at the knife.
A little small, isn't it?
"'Tis not the size of the blade, Chevalier, but one's skill in wielding it.
A song sung by every short man I ever met."
The Marquis chuckled and snapped his fingers, the cell door opening. Jean-Francois's faithful thrall, Meline, waited on the other side, her black, wasp-waisted bodice tumbling into a waterfall of heavy skirts. Drifting into the room, she placed a golden platter on the table. Gabriel saw a chemical globe, a bowl of steaming water, draped with a strip of muslin. A lump of actual soap rested on a dish beside a small horsehair brush. His eyes drifted back to the monster's little blade.
"You're jesting."
"This flesh was never old enough to cultivate more than a shadow of one, but I am told beards can be rather irritating."
Jean-Francois winced.
"And in all honesty, Chevalier, yours looks less a beard and more a blasphemy."
"I do have a reputation to maintain in that regard."
"Consider my service apology. Comfort bestowed after comfort denied. Unless, of course, you do not trust me with a knife at your throat."
The monster smiled, the air crackling with sadistic amusement. Gabriel knew the game being played here, the cruel purpose behind it. To suffer 6 nights of agony, then be dragged back to this thing's feet to acknowledge he was still within his power. To bare his throat to this leech and pray it didn't slice him open. To surrender. Tossing his hair off his shoulders, Gabriel eased himself into that ornate leather chair. The monster smiled down at him, relishing his subjugation. And closing his eyes, Gabriel tilted his head back, trusting the scorpion not to sting. The space of 3 long breaths passed before the muslin was draped over his face, warm with sweet water. Gabriel breathed steam, skin prickling as he heard the cold blood's footfalls to his left. Fighting down instincts he'd honed through years of slaughter and war, the primal urges of fight and flight in his head, willing his heart to cease thundering.
"Patience," a voice inside whispered. "Patience."
"My Empress read your story, Chevalier."
The monster's voice was soft behind him now.
"Your apprenticeship in Saint-Michel, your journey with Dieu la Chance, and your battle with the Ordo Argent for the Grail's life. A saga worthy of the ages. Her Grace was pleased."
"Well, that's a weight off my mind," Gabriel murmured.
"And mine, I assure you." "Frightened of disappointing Mama, cold blood?" "Terrified, actually."
The muslin was removed from his face, and Gabriel felt Jean-Francois whisking the soap to a lather across his jawline. The scent wasn't entirely unpleasant. Fool's honey and wood ash, the faintest notes of blue bark.
"She did, however," the Marquis mused, "offer critique of the tome's length."
Jean-Francois was on Gabriel's right now, the Silver Saint's jaw tensing as he felt the first touch of razor to flesh. Fingers pressed light to Gabriel's chin. The monster skimmed the blade down his cheek in one long, smooth stroke.
"She was eager at the prospect of a continuance."
The razor was sharp as glass, whispering as it kissed his skin again. The Marquis's touch was stone hard but gentle, warm from feeding. Gabriel held himself steady, but the beast inside him was on edge to be so vulnerable. Invisible hackles rippling down his spine as the Marquis deftly curled his blade across the bow of Gabriel's upper lip.
"Though we have had our disagreements, de Lyon, I am not a vindictive soul, but Her Grace has made her desire plain. So while I have no wish to gift you further torment, I shall be forced to, should you defy her.
and neither of us truly wishes that.
Gabriel felt the razor again, curling down toward his neck now. A blood-warm touch at his throat, the light brush of the monster's crotch against his hand.
Do you sleep with women, Cold Blood? Or men?
The blade paused.
Why do you ask, Silver Saint?
A shrug.
Indulge me.
Gabriel felt a rock-hard thumb at his lip then, ever so gently wiping the soap flecks free.
Male, female, such matters are trifles to immortals, sinking swift in the ocean of eternity. Beauty may be found across any boundary. So, when you're bedding your beauties, do you warm them up first? Or do you just bend them over and have at it?
The razor fell still again.
Are you?
To put it plainer,
Gabriel finally opened his eyes, looking up at the Marquis.
If you're going to try to fuck me, vampire, at least have the decency to buy me a drink first.
Jean-Francois' jaw clenched, razor hovering over Gabriel's jugular. The Silver Saint only smiled. Gabriel knew he was in danger here. But tortured and weary, in the end, he was still no fool. Truth was, if these monsters wished him dead, he'd be just that. And though they dragged him to the frayed edge of sanity, they hadn't let him fall. He knew what they wanted. The tale of how Saint-Michon's grail was broken. To know if there was some way they might still turn her to advantage. And so, while trusting a scorpion not to sting might have seemed a fool's wager, Gabriel had known he'd nothing to fear sitting in that chair. Baring his throat to this bastard was no surrender. It was a conquest. And, closing his eyes again, he tilted his head all the way back.
The money, if you have it, chérie. See to it, Méliné, Jean-Francois commanded.
Gabriel heard the door creaking shut, the key twisting. The thrall considered him dangerous enough to lock it behind her now. The Sanctus they'd given him to smoke had been barely a thimbleful, but his senses were still sharp, and as the Marquis pressed razor to flesh again, Gabriel counted Meline's steps down from the tower. He knew now that the heavy iron door below led out into the chateau's western wing. Every step from those stairs to the dining hall had been tallied in his head during his march back up here. Every thrall sword marked. The tall windows a man might leap from, servants' doors a man might slip from, all stowed in the iron-clad vaults of his memory. The Marquis continued shaving him in silence, his smug air of triumph evaporated. The razor skimmed his throat one final time, murder just a whim away. But finally, the monster wiped his blade clean and folded it back inside his coat. After a moment, Jean-Francois pressed his hands to Gabriel's face, cool and wet. The Silver Saint smelled sharp alcohol, and beneath, just the faintest note of flowers. Gabriel opened his eyes again. Jean-Francois was gazing down at him, golden curls swaying as he smoothed the grooming water over his cheeks.
Apologies, de Lyon, the monster murmured. I am afraid Silver Bell is one of the only pleasant fragrances we can still fashion these nights. I am aware it was your wife's favorite bloom, your daughter's also. And if the scent gives rise to memories unpleasant, I ask forgiveness. As I said, I have no wish to see you suffer.
Gabriel lost focus, looking back on distant days. That little lighthouse by the sea. The warmth in Patience's smile and Astrid's arms. The song of waves and gulls and distant shore, and three knocks falling like hammers upon the door.
Come in, Jean-Francois murmured.
Meline slipped back into the room with a green glass bottle, filled with a delicious red. Gabriel inhaled the wine's perfume, watching the artery pulse beneath Meline's choker eyes drifting over the milk-white curves of her bosom as she leaned forward and filled one of the goblets. His blood ran quicker, and he avoided her eyes as she handed him the glass.
"Do you desire anything else, master?"
Gabriel hadn't even seen the monster move, but Jean-Francois was now seated on the chair opposite. A leather-bound tome rested in the cold blood's lap.
"Not for the moment, my dove. Leave us." "Your will be done."
The woman glanced at Gabriel.
"I shall not stray far."
Gabriel winked and raised his glass, and Meline retired. The silver saint tipped back his head, emptying the goblet in one draught. Leathers creaking, he poured another. And with cup filled to trembling brim, he leaned back, grey eyes on the monster opposite.
"What the Forever King did to your family?" Jean-Francois shook his head, eyes to the narrow window. "I confess the tale struck me to my heart, Silver Saint."
"You have no hearts, cold blood. We both of us know that. I am no stranger to cruelty. But there is a threshold over which only the truly monstrous dare tread. And Fabian Voss was that, by any measure.
But in ending him, you have authored a calamity. This empire teeters on knife's edge, de Leon. If the courts of the blood are not united, there can be but one ending to this tale."
"And you think the Grail will help you?" Gabriel scoffed. "I told you before, cold blood. The cup is broken. The Grail is gone."
"It matters not what I believe, Gabriel. Neither of us wants to see you thrown back down that hole. But that is exactly where my Empress will leave you, if you do not give her what she wants."
"And if I do?"
"Immortality. Perhaps the only sort any of us truly know."
The cold blood produced a wooden case, carved with wolves and moons. He drew out a long quill, black as the heart in Gabriel's chest, placing a small bottle upon his armrest. Dipping quill to ink, he looked up with dark and expectant eyes.
"Begin,"
the vampire said. The last Silver Saint sighed. "As it please you."